Yo, what is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Burnt Denim, the podcast where we spread knowledge, instill passion, and generate conversation.
GC.
Once again, I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm your co-host, Max. And Nick, how are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Are you doing good?
I'm kind of tired.
I'm kind of tired, too.
It was one of those, we're recording this the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
And
November 1st.
But with that, there's daylight savings. So I think we both stayed up like super late. I'm like, oh, we're getting an extra hour of sleep. But if you stay up like 4 hours more than you
normally do, then you're like, I actually lost sleep.
So
I don't know.
It doesn't work out the way that I planned.
I just have one bit of knowledge is Halloween's the only day you're not wearing a costume. So kind of.
So what did you dress up as?
Did you wear a costume? No, I didn't. I wanted to, but did you?
I wore two costumes.
What?
So on Halloween itself, like it was just a last minute thing. I was like, oh, what do I have? Because I'm going to like a Halloween party.
Right.
So I'm like, what do I already have? And I just had like a matching tracksuit from like UC Berkeley.
Really?
So I just got that. My wife had
My wife
had like a matching MIT tracksuit. So she got that.
And oh, that's sick.
We're like, oh, we're college students. The night before, I went to a different thing and I was wearing, I dressed up as like a grandma. So I had like a like old curly wig.
I could see Nick as a grandpa one day.
When I actually see you as a grandpa before a father.
Before a father, I actually envision myself as a grandpa. But dude, that's awesome. I mean, we're happy to be here to bring you guys a new episode. And yeah, we're excited. I think this episode's gonna be a little different.
Right.
We're going over someone you guys may have heard of. We don't know. Maybe you heard of them.
Yeah.
Maybe you haven't. We've heard of them, but you don't own any pieces.
No, I mean, one, they cost a lot more, but also two, I just don't know anything. So
yeah.
I wouldn't want to invest a significant amount without knowing a lot about the person myself.
Right.
So with that, exactly what you're saying, this episode is very unique for us too, because a lot of this we're learning along the way as well.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it. That's why we love doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this episode, as Nick is saying, we are going over Raf Simons.
Raf Simons.
Raf Simons, loved by the current culture, like the pop culture, hip hop, like the people love him. He's the people's designer.
The people's designer.
Nick was saying, what?
People's champ.
He is the people's champ.
He's Dwayne Johnson.
He is.
Fashion.
So this episode is going to be a little different because it's going to be more so about his designs and some of his pieces that he's designed more so than like about his life, because he's more of kind of a private person. So there's not a lot on his public life. Shout out to Vogue for a lot of this information, because that's where we pulled a lot of it from. And I think this is going to be interesting because we're actually going to get to talk a lot more about the design. We're in the past. We kind of go over the history. It's still going to be a brand history, but it's going to be more so about the designs. And maybe after this, if you have some money sitting around and you want to buy some Raf Simons, maybe you can buy it now because now you know a little bit more. But without further ado, let's hop in. Boom. So Raf Simons was born on January 12th, 1968 in the small town of, I hope I'm saying this right, Neerpelt, Belgium.
Yeah, there's a lot of words this episode that we don't know for sure. So we're gonna say it with confidence, and you don't know either. So
we're gonna say it with our ugly American accents. But in a small town of Neerpelt, Belgium, his father was a night watchman. I think like kind of like a night at the museum. I don't know. and his mother was a house cleaner. So no seamstress this time.
I know.
This is very interesting.
Change of pace.
Yeah, change of pace.
You have hope.
All the fashion designers we looked at, it seems like they've had some sort of like seamstress or some parent to do with clothing. But no. And Simons described his hometown as an extremely rural and surrounded by like goats and cows and sheep with no real culture. He was kind of separated off from like popular culture at the time.
Society,
from society. And so he didn't really have any influence, like culture or fashion influence from a young age because he was in this isolated town. But he did gain influence from listening to music. I know he was really into like kind of that punk rock, punk vibe. And you can kind of, again, see that in his designs. And also, I feel like we could put Raf Simons in a sort of similar bucket as Rick Owens.
Yeah.
They're both kind of appeal to the same.
In the same conversations, I'd say.
Yeah. They like appeal to the same. Usually people who like the designs of Rick Owens like Raf Simons.
Yeah.
So that whole punk vibe. So fast forward to 1989, you know, we're already 21 years later. There's just not a lot about his younger life. He interned for Walter Van Barendonk. right?
I don't know.
I think that's how you say it. Confidence. Walter Van Beerendonk, when he was studying industrial and furniture design at the LUCA, L-U-C-A, we're calling it LUCA, School of Art in Genk, which is also in Belgium. Uh-huh. And so Walter Van Beerendonk is a designer today. He's part of the Antwerp Six, which is like this group of people that design from this, or that graduated from this fashion school together, and they're these Belgian designers. And so he got to intern for Beerendonk. Mm-hmm. And he would design industrial and furniture pieces from Beerendonk's fashion campaigns. And so at this time, Raf Simons was not at all into fashion or into clothing. He was into industrial design, fashion, or furniture design. And Beerendonk took Simons to his first fashion show in 1990. Hmm. And it was the Martin Margiela Spring 1990 all-white fashion show. Isn't it like Martin Margiela or something? I don't know. I call it Martin Margiela. Margiela. But yeah, so his first fashion show when he was 22, so he had never really been into fashion. And it was that. And so, Simons told the magazine once that as a student, I always thought that fashion was a bit superficial, all glitz and glamour, but this show changed everything for me. I walked out of it and thought, that's what I'm going to do. That show is the reason I became a fashion designer.
That's crazy.
It's really cool to think about, like, literally a single fashion show, this Martin Margiela show in 1990. He walked out of it saying, this is what I want to do with my life. Not at all into really fashion before, but interning for a fashion designer, going to the show. He said, I want to do fashion.
Yeah. What a shift too.
I know. I wish I had a moment where I was like,
I know, I want if life to do was that easy.
I know.
You could just be like, oh, this is it for the rest of my life. I can't do anything else.
I know. Yeah.
But Simons ended up graduating from the LUCA in 91. And during this time, he would hang out at the Antwerp's Poetsley Cafe and became friends with many of the photographers there and stylists that he still uses today. Mm. They would heavily talk about fashion, specifically Helmut Lang and Martin Margiela. His industrial design group did not want him to get in fashion initially and discouraged him. And he actually would end up even going to Beerendonk's studio when he told his industrial design friends that he was going to work on industrial design.
He's a liar.
Yeah. Interesting. this sparked a rebellious attitude that can be seen through like his design aesthetic of probably coming from like the influences that he had growing up. Yeah. With the music he listened to and the culture that he liked. Then in 1995, he ended up finding his own menswear brand and presented his first collection using 8mm film. Fast forward again, 97, Simons held a fashion show in Paris, held at the Impasse de Montlouis.
Ooh, Nick. Again, you've been studying French? I mean, shoot.
I just got to say it with confidence. And then
that's the key.
No one can check me. He had the models walk around overpasses in the space wearing his slim cut and youth-inspired clothing.
Mm.
By 99, Raf Simons and his brand had become pretty well-known, and Raf Simons and his girlfriend, Veronique Branquino.
I don't know. These are Veronique Branquino, something like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I only speak English.
Hey, so me too.
I'm bad.
We're taking Rosetta Stone. We're working on it.
Duolingo isn't doing me too much justice. But anyways, him and his girlfriend were hired to design collections for a leather house, Rufo Research. Also in 99, a photographer published a book with one of Raf Simons' fashion shows, and it really established Raf Simons as a street-inspired and aesthetic aimed towards the youth. This can be seen today as Raf Simons is loved by the youth culture. And the rap community, which is generally younger as a whole.
Right.
In 2000, he taught in the fashion department at the University of Applied Arts in Vienna. He actually taught there for 5 years.
Wow.
That's what you dropped out of there?
Yeah.
I went to school of the hard knocks.
Yeah, I tried, but you know, I actually had him as my professor.
You're about to witness the strength, the street
Imagine
knowledge.
Him as your professor, though.
I know.
Like,
this man, I hear it's actually super awkward.
Yeah, I feel
like a really introverted person. That's probably why there's so much...
We'll put up a picture. Not to judge by looks, but he looks like a very introverted guy.
Yeah,
he doesn't look like, you know.
Like, you don't really see him talking to too many people.
He's probably just a sweaty gamer. Like, he's probably like nice. He has like a whole gaming setup, he's just a gamer.
He just streams Fortnite.
He does.
So for spring 2002 runway show, he had his models cloaked in face coverings and holding lip flares, and the scary looking visuals were inspired by terrorist hacks. actually occurring around the world at the time. And the crazy thing that this runway show was before 2000, before 9/11.
Yeah.
So what's interesting, when I say inspired by terrorist acts, it's not like he's pro-terrorist. Like, it's more so like a social commentary on that. Yeah. So that's what I say when I mean inspired. Not like this man is like a danger to society.
No, I agree. Yeah, and I actually saw like some pictures from it. We could put them up, but from this show, and it really reminded me of the Runaway music video, like when all the lights comes on and they're like holding up the flares, and it's like kind of a creepy visual. It kind of looks like that if you've ever seen that music video. But yeah, I think one thing that was really interesting too that Nick was talking about was when him and his girlfriend started the leather, or not started, they worked to design for this leather company.
Yeah,
like that. The same thing happened with Rick Owens. If you remember in our Rick Owens episode, like him and Michelle Lamy, like helped at a leather company. So it's weird.
Yeah.
That's why I say they're kind of in the same bucket. They kind of followed, I mean, different paths, but they did similar things.
Yeah.
But anyway, so after this, in around 2002, Simmons was hired to be the head designer for Jill Sander, and actually began to design women's wear as well as men's wear. And he brought his own style to the traditionally minimalist Jill Sander style. And he debuted many iconic looks in women's wear, including inventive fringe dresses. So like dresses are like completely made of fringe, and like he really ran with women's wear, like with this more minimalist brand, but like gave his own aesthetic to it and really ran with it. And many women began to get into his designs, and one model, Miranda Kerr, even wore like one of his Jill Sander designed dresses to the Met Gala. And this brought even more attention to Raf Simmons as a designer, because now he's even more in the public eye, you know, wearing him to these big public events. And then between 2011 and 2012, so he's been with Jill Sander for a long time, he really dove into messing with the couture ideas. And like couture, for those who don't know what it means, like couture is more like tailored wear, more specific to a body type wear, like high end, like crafted pieces of clothing. So he really decided to getting into messing with couture ideas at Jill Sander. And he made things such as gowns that look like t-shirts tucked into skirts. And he showed off his skills as a craftsman, taking these ideas. Like, I saw the picture too, we'll put it up, but like this, one of the runway looks was literally this woman that looked like she was wearing a t-shirt tucked into a skirt, but it was like all one piece.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. And then he eventually left Jill Sander in 2012, end of 2012. And he went to be the head creative director for Dior. And his first collection in fall 2012 was presented in a hotel decked out with millions of flowers. I was reading that, and I was thinking, like, millions of flowers? I don't know if I've ever seen a literal million flowers. I was like, I don't know. Is that hyperbole? Or were there literally millions of flowers? But I think it's so cool, like, when designers like this hold runway shows or show off the new pieces in really creative spaces, like a hotel, like at overpasses on a road, like in Paris, as Nick was saying. And at the beginning of his time with Dior, he really drew on Christian Dior's heritage, and he added his own flair, especially to the bar jacket, which was this women's jacket designed in, I think, like 1945 or 46 by Christian Dior. It was a revolutionary jacket that you can still see today. You probably recognize it. But he added his own flair to it. So he really liked to mess with those traditional ideas, not so much veering away from them like we see with Virgil Abloh or people who, or like Kim Jones, who took those traditional ideas and did their own thing, but kind of paying homage to
built
the tradition.
Built on top of it, yeah.
Yeah. Then in 2013, he actually signed a deal with Adidas, since he was a longtime wearer of the Stan Smith classic shoe. And he updated the Stan Smith with vibrant colors and a perforated R. And you can see those today for like Raf Simmons. And he still works with Adidas today. He has the Oswego, the Raf Simmons Oswego, which is like an Adidas shoe. And so he had always had a love for Adidas, for Stan Smith. So he got to collaborate with them in 2013 and still does today. And then also another big step in making him such a prominent design figure was in his Dior show in 2013. He presented a pink bulb skirted dress. So like a dress, and then it's like just really wide at the bottom of it. And it was chosen by Jennifer Lawrence to be worn at the Oscars. So she wore it. She actually tripped up the stairs to accept her Oscar. And I feel like that's an iconic moment for people who follow the Oscars, is when Jennifer Lawrence tripped up to accept her award, and she was wearing a Raf Simons skirt, so it's further cemented him in like pop culture.
Yeah,
which is kind of funny. But yeah.
Yeah. So in 2014, Simmons collaborated with LA artist Sterling Ruby for a collection heavily influenced by American culture and heritage. In the creative process, and items from the collections are grails for a lot of menswear and fashion enthusiasts and collectors.
Grails.
In 2016, Simmons shockingly resigned from Dior, and his surprising decision to resign made him one of Google's top trending fashion designers of the year on Google.
Oh.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was only a couple years ago, 4 years.
For a spring 2017 collection, Simmons incorporated photographer Robert Mapplethorpe's work into every piece in his collection, and again showed how distinct Simmons' designs were compared to a lot of other people's, using photos sewn or printed onto button-up shirts.
Mm. I have a piece, but no, I don't. Yeah, I wish it
is. I'm sure you do. In 2016, Simmons was named the head creative director of Calvin Klein. He was not only hired as a fashion designer, but also head over things such as Calvin Klein Home and marketing as well.
The GOAT, he said, we want you for everything. We want your mind and everything.
He has a pretty unique career. I guess it's not unique for the fashion community, right? Right. He's like jumping around to a lot of like significant names.
Yeah.
But for Calvin Klein, he did a lot of significant things. One of the big things specifically was in 2017. He revived the brand's one runway collection, now named Calvin Klein 205 West 39 New York City. I'm assuming that's what it is.
I think that's the address.
Yeah.
I think that's the address of like the Calvin Klein headquarters. But
he presented his first collection with them at the New York Fashion Week. And in this collection, they played on the idea of Americanisms.
Hmm.
This included designs such as bright colored band uniforms or Wall Street suits, sheriff jackets, quilted parkas, and even cowboy boots as well.
Raf Simons cowboy boots.
I know.
Get yours.
That's what I want. Also in 2017, the CFDA presented Simmons with the menswear and womenswear designer of the year for his Calvin Klein designs, which is crazy. Technically, supposed to present two full collections to win this award, but he was way too goated.
He was way too goated. He doesn't even won.
He was also the first designer to receive this award for both menswear and womenswear in the same year since Calvin Klein himself, which is a crazy accomplishment.
So you guys, are you listening to this? This man is crazy.
So in spring 2018, Simmons presented a menswear collection that riffed off on pop culture, and sci-fi, specifically from movies like Blade Runner. One of the quotes that he said was, it's about culture sliding together. That's the most important message for me. Asian culture and the culture of the West coming together. And, you know, there was a bit of a new wave punk attitude, but not aesthetically. More in the attitude like taking different kinds of things. I wanted it to be energetic. Simmons told that to Vogue in an interview. And we see this trend of innovators mixing cultures together like that now to create something new. Yeah. With streetwear, high fashion, or, you know, you name the different aspects that come together.
Yeah.
Or like Fear of God with like vintage or in
Banty, and then also that, doing
like luxury height tailored things.
He's trying to transition.
So he was one of the people to initially start that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, you see like taking like American, like heavily drawing on American, Americanisms as they call them, and like combining them with the high fashion. And I don't know. Yeah. He was very good at this, seamlessly doing it. And in January, 2018, Simmons actually announced that the Kardashian Jenner fam would be the new face of Calvin Klein underwear and jeans. Interesting. This shocked the world. Cause like the fashion world, cause they were what? And they went with like an American vision again, using like a barn ranch themed ideas. And you can just see through this and through other things, he just has this obsession with the American aesthetic. He's not American himself cause he's from
Belgium,
but he's really obsessed with this idea, the youth, America, the creative process. And by 2018, Raf Simons had become one of the biggest voices in fashion. And he held a show at the New York Stock Exchange. Really interesting. He covered the floor in 8 inches of popcorn. Imagine just grabbing a handful. 8 inches of popcorn. And he held like the most over-the-top show that he's done yet. And it was for Calvin Klein. He put abandoned looking barns with works by Andy Warhol and his friend Sterling Ruby on the walls. Mm-hmm. And in the show, he put hazmat suits, fireman coats, prairie dresses, bright pastel colored clothes on the runway. And celebrities like Nicole Kidman, Lupita Nyong'o, and Millie Bobby Brown were like first row at a show. So he was getting celebrities at this point, yeah, like all wanting to see his show. Like he was the hottest thing. And Calvin Klein took looks over for pop culture in 2018. They were worn by droves of celebrities attending the Oscars, the Emmys, all the award shows. People were wearing, like the Met Galas, were wearing his designed things, whether it was Raf Simons' brand or Calvin Klein. And even sports stars like Odell Beckham Jr. to award shows were like head-to-toe Calvin Klein designed by Raf Simons. And at the end of 2018, Simons decided to leave Calvin Klein after revitalizing the American brand and he decided to return to Antwerp to run his own brand. So that was another big shock, is he was only at Calvin Klein for a couple years. Yeah. And I guess they split because he had a different creative vision for where he wanted the brand to go, and Calvin Klein didn't want that, so he decided to split. But in those 2 years, I think that he was at Calvin Klein, he, like we said, he really revitalized the brand, because I always thought, at least when I was growing up, I always thought of Calvin Klein like more so as like the perfume, like accessory brand. And he really brought it back to clothing prominence with that new high-end luxury line and bringing all these stars to promote it and holding these over the top fashion shows.
So today, 2020, he's still running his own brand, and he's also the co-creative director of Prada, actually.
Prada.
So that's what he's doing right now. But he's still like extremely popular in a lot of conversations, still like idolized by youth culture and rap community as well. I know like ASAP Rocky will like talk about him all the time.
There's a song called Raf.
Yeah.
With Quavo and Frank Ocean.
But you'll see like different influence, I guess you would say, in the community wearing like a lot of his clothes. The specific thing that I think of is the Riot Bomber jacket.
It's like
that, like
40 grand or something.
Yeah,
something crazy.
It sold for like 40 grand, like something ridiculous on Grailed.
Wait, I think from that might be from that show about the, or from the runway show we were talking about, the inspired by the terrorist attacks, the Riot Bomber. That might be.
From, I know it was like early 2000s. Well, yeah. But you'll see people like Kanye wearing that. You'll see like Drake wore it in a Tootsie Slide video.
Yeah.
Like Travis Scott. Like there's other celebrities too, but those are the ones that are like coming to mind. Also, so he's still like in conversations. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he also, like he appeals to that. Like you go on Grailed and they're always posting about him. Like it's the high fashion. Like you have to be, I don't know what the group would be called that wears it, but there's also those people who are just very, like they think that by wearing it, they become like, they morph into a superhero or something. But that just shows like the power of clothing. I think a story of Raf Simons and like, he didn't decide he even wanted to get into fashion until he was about 22. Mm-hmm. It's never too late, people. The story of Raf Simons shows, and now he's one of the most prominent designers like around today, and he didn't even know he wanted to get into fashion until then. And now like that shows just the power of clothing, that like going to a show completely transforming what he wants to do in his life, and people coveting, like when we say something's a grail, I know we said it before, but it's like a piece that you would save up for and you really want, like
significant
people will spend so much money on his clothes because it means so much to them to have that piece of clothing. And so
It's interesting too, because I wouldn't consider him like a hype person.
It's not hype.
It's not hype. And
it is high end.
Maybe, I don't know, luxury as well.
I'd say it's luxury.
Luxury?
Just because,
I mean, he designs really, with all these like luxury brands.
Right. And I think his clothing is obviously very expensive. Like, we are not saying that it's accessible to everyone. We don't even own pieces because it's too expensive. But, I call it luxury, but definitely not hype.
Yeah. So he's pretty unique guy. There's not much information about him. So I mean, if you kinda have like any Shebbia, like stories or
very
anything like that,
reclusive.
Yeah.
But
so with that, we always like to finish these behind the brand history episodes by showing some of our favorite outfits inspired by
or least favorite. We might
by
not
the
like
designers
them.
Or the brands that we go behind.
Yeah.
So today we have Wear to Rochere featuring Raf Simons inspired outfits.
Yes.
So do you have yours? You want to go
yes.
first?
Yes. And this is always the segment of the show where someone may walk in. So be ready. But no, I'm just kidding. So my first picture, Wear to Rochere, Nick. Where do you think? This is at that popcorn show at the New York Stock Exchange with the 8 inches of popcorn. It's the man himself.
I'd wear just for the popcorn.
The man himself. What do you think?
I feel like this man's about to go to a Christmas party right now.
The popcorn, though.
That is popcorn. I remember seeing this picture and I was so...
so confused.
Yeah. Someone let me break down what he's wearing. He's wearing like a white dress shirt and then like a red, black, and white sweater, like a knit sweater over that. Just some black trousers and like black dress shoes, I'd say.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, I'd say wear. I mean, there's nothing like wrong with it. Like, I feel like it's a good like going to work outfit or like honestly
Christmas
like
party
around
outfit.
Christmas parties. Like,
dude, I like it.
It just fits. It's a vibe. So wear.
Yeah, I like this too because this is completely out of what I wear now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have anything like this and I don't wear anything like this. But yeah, I like...
But I'm not opposed to
it. I'm not opposed. I like how the pants fit on him and I like just the dress shoe kind of vibe. And then, yeah, I'm a big fan of like the distressed sweater look.
Yeah.
Like I know Paul Fuentebella, shout out. He's really into those like distressed bare knuckles, I think they're called sweaters. Yeah. But I want to like get a sweater, like a nice sweater. I don't really have a nice one. And then I think he just pulls it off well. And like with even the sleeve going over like mm-hmm. this, you know, that's kind of like I don't know. It looks good. It fits him well and I like it. And I would definitely try this.
Yeah.
Try this. And here is my next one. What do you think of this? Also the man again. Double Raf Simons, the man.
Oh. This man looks so average right in this picture.
I can't explain to you how average he looks.
Wearing like a navy dress shirt, like black slacks and black dress shoes. I mean, I guess wear if I'm going to like...
Wow.
If I'm going to like a wedding or something like that.
Or a funeral.
Or a funeral. Some sort of formal event.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't wear it casually. I guess it depends.
Well, why?
Like, I'm not going to... I don't know. It's just not how I dress.
You don't have the confidence?
Wearing down the street. I guess. It just doesn't match me.
So that's
to the job you want, I suppose.
So
I just start wearing that and then I'm like...
I want to be a mortician. So it's a wear with a stipulation like
right.
for to an event. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing about that I'm like, that's disgusting.
I'm going to go share because even if I was going to a wedding or something, I want to wear something a little more bright, a little more colorful. But I feel like there's some econ. Yeah, but I feel like one of my econ professors could rock this while they're teaching a lesson. No, just kidding. No, it's super simple. I think this plays to the fact that a lot of designers dress simple. Mm-hmm. Virgil Abloh dresses pretty simple. Like Jerry Lorenzo, all these
very
people.
Normal.
Like they don't dress. They don't always wear like their designs. So
yeah.
But yeah, for me it's a share just because I don't know. I like a little bit more color. But
I'd wear it to a funeral.
It's not bad.
Because it just killed that fit.
Nick, what do you have for me?
So moving forward, I have two different things. The right. first one is at one of his runway shows. Boom. I have
Whoa.
No I don't know how I'd describe it. But it's very intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's okay, I'm going to try to describe it. So he's wearing black
I
dress shoes.
I think that's actually like the same runway show.
Yeah, I think that might be that one that was inspired kind of by the Terrace Acts happening.
we but keep going back to that.
He's wearing black dress shoes and like wider cut slacks. They look gray with like black stripes. Then kind of like a tan trench coat with a black bomber almost jacket over it with a belt around it with a ton of stuff hanging off. Sort of like a face mask. Like, it almost looks like a hijab kind of thing. I think I appreciate the aesthetic, but I'm gonna have to go share just because I feel like I might get called out for like some sort of cultural appropriation or something wearing that. But it's cool and I appreciate the aesthetic, but I feel like also I couldn't rock it.
Yeah.
Because it's just so, I'm an outgoing guy, but this is like so outside of me being able to wear this. But again, I don't think it's bad, and I appreciate the creativity behind it. What about you?
Yeah, I'd say share.
Yeah.
Share.
Yeah. Like you could rock it.
Want the head thing too? I mean, yeah. Maybe from like a desert or something like that. Or maybe from
Indiana Jones.
Maybe from like going to the store in 2020. I'd wear.
True. True. This is the COVID outfit. He was predicting COVID.
So I'd say share.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. What's the next one?
The next one is.
Oh,
this, the
yes.
Man.
Okay. Okay. So this is Kanye, and he's wearing. I'm gonna go again from the bottom up. He's wearing the Beluga 350 V2 Yeezys. Looks like some black. I think these are the black Acne Cash jeans, actually, because I looked them up before when he wears these. So you didn't even expect I knew that. But black Acne Cash. It looks like a black vintage tee. And then he's wearing that Raf Simons. I think it's from 2001 Riot Bomber. Guys, this may just look like a camo bomber to you, but I can't tell you how much this bomber's worth. It's like 45 grand or something like that. And there's only a few of them. So this is a definite wear for me.
Each one custom made.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, I'm definitely going to go wear on this because I really, and not just because it's worth so much money, but I actually like how the bomber looks and I like how this outfit looks, although I could get a bomber for much cheaper. Let's say I didn't have to pay that, I'd wear. If not, obviously not. And then I like the Belugas. I actually like how he's wearing camo with the Belugas. I feel like you may not think it goes together, but if you just have black all in between,
yeah,
it looks good. And so I'll go wear. I like it.
Yeah. I'd do the same thing, like definitely wear.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty simple.
Yeah. And it's simple.
Subtle flex.
It's simple,
but if you know, you know.
If you know, you can't imagine
how
much
that
thing
is. If you know, you better take that thing and...
You better jump Kanye. But anyway, that was Wear, Tear, Share. And make sure to follow us on the gram. Boom, right here. Posting content. And we're excited for the future.
Yeah.
Nick, do we even tell? Maybe we'll tell you next episode, but there's some.
We got some big announcements and shifts to how we do Burnt Venom.
Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be for the better, for sure. It's going to keep us more interested, you more interested, and we're excited. But
looking forward to it.
That was Burnt History.
Follow us at Burnt Denim.
At Burnt Denim. Check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Check out Raf Simons.
Yeah.
Get knowledgeable. But anyway, we love y'all.
And
peace.